Sam Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Texas Supreme Court rules against a woman seeking a court-approved abortion after she was diagnosed with an endangered pregnancy. CBS News legal contributor Thane Rosenbaum.
The Texas Supreme Court is taking a very legalistic position. Abortion is permitted if the mother's life is in danger due to complications with her pregnancy. If she is not in danger, then it doesn't matter whether the fetus only has a 5% chance of living within 1 year of delivery or not being born at all.
Kate Cox's lawyer says she has left the state to undergo an abortion. A federal court jury has decided that Google's Android App Store has been protected by anti-competitive barriers that have damaged smartphone consumers and software developers. The unanimous verdict comes after a four-week trial revolving around a lucrative payment system within Google's Play Store. The U.S. Supreme Court agrees to quickly take up special counsel Jack Smith's petition, asking whether former President Trump has immunity from prosecution. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This historic trial of Donald Trump in front of a federal jury is scheduled for March 4th. Trump is trying to pause all the proceedings till after the election, saying there are issues he wants to appeal. So Jack Smith wants the Supreme Court to weigh in promptly and decide whether that trial moves forward March 4th.
In New York City, search and rescue teams are searching a large pile of rubble after a seven-story apartment building partially collapsed in the Bronx. Fire Chief John Hodges.
We don't know if anybody's trapped under there. Hopefully not. But what we're doing is we're tunneling in to that debris pile as safely as we can.
A storm system brought deadly tornadoes to the south with at least six people killed in Tennessee and over 100 injured. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez is in Clarksville.
Tanya Osborne says she's lucky she wasn't home when her house was ripped apart. But the recovery won't be easy.
My whole life has been reduced to several garbage bags and what I can get in them and what I can salvage.
There are still more than 14,000 customers in this area who do not have power.
The same system has brought heavy snow to parts of New England where flooding remains a concern. Florida's Space Coast is getting a nighttime launch doubleheader this evening. More from CBS's Peter King.
It's not the first time SpaceX has done two launches in a day, but this is the closest interval between launches from the Cape in recent memory. The company's Falcon Heavy is due to launch the Air Force's uncrewed secret space plane into orbit at 8:14 Eastern Time from the Kennedy Space Center. Then a Falcon 9 with Starlink satellites from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station less than 3 hours later. Peter King, CBS News Orlando.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers and state university leaders will go back to negotiations over a deal on frozen pay raises and diversity offices. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the deal the Board of Regents rejected Saturday was his best and final offer. A member of the university's Board of Regents told the Journal Sentinel that System President Jay Rothman even floated resigning if the vote failed. The Regents rejected the deal Saturday on a 9-8 vote. Gas prices are falling in Wisconsin. AAA says the statewide average for regular was $2.85 a gallon on Saturday, down a penny from Friday. Prices are lower in Janesville and Beloit, where gas is $2.77 a gallon. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin remains in the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The new AP Top 25 men's college basketball rankings are out. Despite losing by 25 points to the number one ranked Arizona Wildcats, the Badgers remain ranked 23rd in the nation. Coach Greg Gard and his team now face Jacksonville State at the Kohl Center this Thursday night. College football, Wisconsin Badgers receivers coach Mike Brown has resigned. Effective immediately, he's taken a job as a receivers coach for Notre Dame and will help them get ready for the Sun Bowl Brown had worked for Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. Women's college basketball, the Badgers lost to the Iowa Hawkeyes 87-65 yesterday, but that wasn't the story. The attendance, over 14,000 fans at the Kohl Center. Hawkeyes head coach Lisa Blutter.
Yeah, the growth of our game, it's been fun to watch. I mean, you know, this was something that you only dreamed of, and now it's happening on a regular basis.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 25
tonight under partly cloudy skies.
Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 32 tomorrow.
Mainly cloudy tomorrow night, 20.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. Gorgeous Monday night in the state of Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live from the WGBW studios here at beautiful City Deck. We're competing with the Packers. So for the 19 people who are listening, I really appreciate it. I cannot thank you enough. In fact, I'm going to have everybody over for eggnog and bundt cake. Does that sound like fun, Conrad?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. If you have no social life, it sounds like a blast. So I got a lot of show for you guys tonight. It's only our second week, and I have so many guests tonight. This is going to be really fun. In just a couple minutes, I'm going to talk to Civic Media Chief Meteorologist Brittany Merlot. I'm obsessed with weather. I used to live in California for like 14 years. Never even thought about weather. Since I moved back to the Midwest, it's literally all I think about, or the only thing I think about I can talk about in the air. So that's what we'll do. We'll talk to Brittany in a few minutes. She's going to tell us about weather and El Nino and all kinds of fun stuff. Jim Healy is going to join me. The show is entertainment-based with some fun Wisconsin stuff. And Jim is a great guest because he watches, I'm not kidding, like 900 movies a year. And he programs the Wisconsin Film Festival. So the Golden Globe list just came out today, the nominees. We're going to talk to Jim about that. He might even tell us why he hates award season. I hope he does. And we'll talk to Jim about TV and film. Jorge Reyna will be here a little later to talk about his show, Mad Unity, right here on Civic Media. And I've got a lot of other Civic Media guests, too. I don't even ask Bo how to say his last name. I think it's Heinrichs. But I'm not sure. But that'll be my first question to my guest, Bo, when he's here, is how do you say his last name? He hosts a show here on Civic Media called Old Country. And I like old country music, so I wanted to talk to Bo about that. And then Civic Media Supergirl, Anya Esther, will be here. She produces like 18 bazillion shows, and she's a film buff, too. So we'll talk to her about the Golden Globes. Tonight's question, I thought long and hard about this. Is it okay to re-gift? Would you be insulted if you knew someone just passed your gift along? I've done it. And I know, based on the quality of gifts I get most of the time, that other people have done it to me. It doesn't really bother me, but we'll find out what you think. If you want to text or call in and tell us what you think about regifting, give us the straight dope. 920-264-0606. 920-264-0606. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I drove here. I don't live in Green Bay. I have to drive. What is with tailgaters? I don't get this. Like, I'm on 41. I'm coming into Green Bay. Someone is literally, I have nowhere to go. There's someone right next to me. I'm passing them, but not fast enough for the person behind me to deal with it. So he's right on my tail. And I don't, are people that important? Where are they going? The grocery store? I mean, what? You're driving a weapon. Slow down. You're not that important. Don't be a hero. You get home 2 minutes later. Hey, this is another thing. It's Brenda Lee's birthday today. It's kind of a big deal because I don't know much about Brenda Lee, but she turned 79 today. And she wrote, she didn't write. Johnny Marks wrote Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Brenda Lee recorded it. Conrad, how old do you think Brenda Lee was when she recorded that?
Wasn't she like 11 or something around that?
No, Conrad, she wasn't 11. And way to steal my thunder. She was 13.
13, okay.
Why do I ask you? It's terrible. That's crazy, though, isn't it? You were close, but I thought it was, that blew my mind. When 13 and you record this hit, and she sounds like she's got this huge voice. She was only 4'9", 4 feet 9 inches. She topped out at 4'9". And I love going to Wikipedia to read stuff like this because they give you all this information that they think you should know. Like one of the things they said was her father didn't, or no, they said Brenda Lee did not have indoor plumbing until after her father's death. Like what a weird way to say, like, you know, he would have hung in there a little longer if they had indoor plumbing. I don't get it. But Brenda Lee, 79 today, and wrote an iconic song, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. I can't believe that song is that old. It sounds much younger. But okay, we have our own icon from Civic Media we're bringing into the show right now. Brenda Lee is great. This next guest is even greater. I'm a fan. I've gotten to know this next guest over the last few months. She is Civic Media's chief meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, good evening, Pete. It's so nice to be on your show.
That's great to have you here. I think I told you when I met you, we both did news together for a while. And yeah. I told you in our first meeting, I'm fascinated by weather. And I know you are because you're a meteorologist. But do you meet people like me? Are most of the people that you meet, do they ask you weather questions?
Oh, all the time. I feel like that's a commonality we all really have is the weather, yeah. Right?
Right.
Weather geeks unite.
Oh, absolutely. So when do you realize in your life you want to be a meteorologist? Like, when do you realize I like weather so much, I'm going to make it a career?
I feel like every meteorologist has their almost like a horror story, some big weather event hit you or affected your family. And that kind of pushed you into it in a sense. Yeah. We all have our stories. So
did that happen for you?
Absolutely. So mine was back in the day, goodness. I was like 5 years old. I think it was back in 91. There was an F5 tornado that rolled through the town where my family lived. I wasn't in it, but I was about 15 minutes away. So we rushed over there and I'm so young seeing this dark sky, complete devastation. Everything's gone. The only thing left was like the front stairs to the, you know, the house. That was the cement stairs. So I grew up terrified of storms. I'm like, all right, tornadoes are so deadly. I can't even, I'd be hiding in the basement every time, you know, a meteorologist would come on and grab all my stuff, go down there and hide. But when I started to get into college, I was like, listen, this can't be a thing anymore. What am I going to do? I got to start taking some, what am I interested in? I was like, well, I really need to learn about meteorology. Once I learn about it, I could face my fear and it won't be a thing anymore. And that's exactly what happened.
That's so cool. That's like, Batman going down into the Batcave and standing with the bats. You faced your fear to the point where you said, here's what I say, weather. I'm going to make this a career. So good for you.
I sure did. And I even started storm chasing. I mean, I've been across the country. Whoa. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
30 tornadoes. Well, it's a learning process, right? So it starts off as a class. I did this with the College of DuPage out of Illinois. I'm from a suburb of Chicago. Yeah. But a lot of meteorologists, College of DuPage rings a bell. We use that website a lot and their numerical models for forecasting. So countrywide, a lot of people know that college. But we started going out chasing. It's a class. It's 2 weeks long. You know, you get credit for it through the college and you go out with a professor and a bunch of kids. And we all learn tornado genesis. You see it all happen, how it's forming. So basically taking everything you learned in the books, seeing it in real life. So then you could actually forecast accurately.
That is crazy. So, like, did you see the movie Twister?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like our favorites.
There was a part in that movie that made me laugh so hard. It was such kind of a cheesy line where I think Bill Paxton says, Or no, somebody says about his character, he's always been able to sense a tornado. And he's just like looking off into the sky. Like, I mean, it was like the lamest thing. And then you had your corporate tornado chasers. Like, they try to like shoehorn a message in there. When like the movie, storm chasing is just kind of cool anyway, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, you got to know what you're doing. A lot of people just after Storm Chasers came out and a lot of those TV shows and stuff, a lot of amateurs just thought, hey, I can do it.
Oh, man.
And then the roads got crowded. Things get dangerous. Accidents become a problem. It's just not safe. So leave it for the pros, please.
Yeah. Stay out of your way.
So get out of my way.
Does chief meteorologist mean you get to boss around all the other meteorologists? Is that how that works?
Basically, no.
Make them do your dirty work, stuff you don't want to do.
Go I'm just the geekiest of them all, I think. That's how you get to the top.
That's how you got to the top, right. So where did you go on vacation? I haven't talked to you like in a few weeks since I'm not doing news. So what's going on? Where'd you go?
I know. I decided to go to Florida for a quick little vacation for my birthday. So I just wanted to get away. Even though I love the snow and the cold, everyone was like, you're going the wrong way.
Yeah, you give me a do. Break. You give me a break. Love the snow. Tell me about that. I don't... You're a rare breed. Not really in Wisconsin, but most people say they hate winter, but you love it for the weather aspect or what?
Absolutely. I mean, I love all extremes, right?
Yeah.
So give me that super cold day when it's negative 40 wind chill. Oh, I love it. I'll be out there. I've done snow angels out in those cold days in a dress back when I was in TV.
Oh my gosh.
I'm super passionate. So it doesn't matter. Any sort of extreme. So big snowstorms. I want 2 feet of snow. Bring it.
I'm with you there. If it's going to snow, I hope it comes down like crazy. I love being holed up at home, you know, and just being able to watch it. If you have to drive in it, that's a different story. But
absolutely. I mean, I've gone out there. I've got the Jeep Wrangler four-wheel drive. Go out there and save people stuck in the snow.
Nice.
Get them their house. You know what I mean? It's fun.
I don't use the word hero very often, but you're mine. So tell us about, is this an El Nino year that we're dealing with here? Is that why it's been so mild? What can we expect over the next couple months?
Oh, goodness. Well, just above average temperatures, right? We've already seen that just over the last weekend, right?
Yeah.
50 degrees we're hitting.
It's great.
Melting all of the ice, everything. I mean, we had ice rescues over the weekend throughout the state as well. Just melted. So don't try to go ice fishing too early. If you're going to be on early ice or something like that, make sure you have the right tools with you. But just warmer than average, unfortunately. So we might see that ice kind of go in and out of freezing and melting stages because of that. Unfortunately, but because I love the cold. Give me the negative 40 still. And so I want a La Nina.
We live kind of by the water and I can see it from where we live. And if the water's not moving, I get depressed. If it's just a chunk of ice, because I don't ice fish, I'm kind of an inside guy, but that gets depressing to me. So I am all about El Nino. Are we thinking like maybe 50 degrees in the winter some days or what?
We might hit those mid 40s once again by Thursday and Friday.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I mean, it's possible. It really is.
I just realized I'm that like nerdy weather guy who is asking you about what, but you know, that's what you do here. So I have to ask you.
Yeah, ask away.
what fascinates you the most about what you do with weather? You know what? Hold on a second. Can you stick around for like, we got to do like 60 seconds of business. Then I want to ask you what you're watching too, because this is an entertainment show after all, right?
It is.
Sure. Are you entertained?
I'm entertained.
So I want to ask you about the Weather Channel and then also what you're watching. So, we'll do that in just a minute. I'm talking with Civic Media Chief Meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who is just back from vacation, and she's already on the hot seat there answering weather questions. So we'll ask her what she's watching. We'll ask her more about weather in just a couple minutes. Hey, and I want to know, do you approve of regifting or don't you? What's the worst regift you've ever got? You can share anything you want. It's 920-264-0606. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a pickle-ectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat!
Got...
Come on!
Okay, and this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
breaking breast. Like breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Peach Wawa. Those of you brave enough to listen to us and not watch the Packer game, I appreciate you. We are going to talk in just a few minutes about the Golden Globe nominees with... film expert extraordinaire Jim Healy from Madison. He's going to join me in just a few minutes. Right now, though, we're talking with Chief Meteorologist for Civic Media here, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, thanks for hanging with me a little bit here. I know it's your first day back from vacation, so I do appreciate it.
Got me up late and everything.
Are you usually in bed at this time?
I am. I wake up early. I get that news.
All right. Well, I really appreciate it. And I will send you.
No, I love this. I love this.
Do you? Good. Okay. Well, it's great to have you. You're on every week, right? Every once a week with Mino and the mayor here on the Green Bay Morning Show, right?
Yeah. Monday mornings. Yep.
Talk about that. What do you talk about with those guys? Do you get a word in edgewise?
Barely.
Yeah.
They're hysterical, though. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they have
fun.
One
thing. They bounce off the wall. They're going every which direction. Full of laughs, full of info too. I enjoy it.
Yeah. What do? You just talk about weather? Are you just like kind of part of the team? How does that work?
Goodness. I try to do a little bit of a breaking it down with Brittany vibe, try to give a little bit of education on a few things going on. Sometimes they'll let me squeeze in the forecast, but no, it's a blast.
So just basic things, you share with them, not just weather related. That's impressive.
You're not kind of weather related.
Okay. Because I was going
to
say,
I forgot to mention that. I thought that was implied.
No, you could probably teach those guys a lot. So you worked in TV weather and now you're doing radio. What do you prefer?
Ooh, I prefer radio.
Do you?
Yes, why? Absolutely. It's nice to, I used to have to straighten my hair every single day, do
me
the makeup.
Too.
You know what I mean? It's too much. It's too much. Yeah. Radio's fun.
Radio is fun. And it's, you know, I don't know. But now you're kind of on TV here with the StreamYard. So you had to get ready for this. I know you said, do I have to put myself together? Like, no.
Yeah, you surprised me with that one.
I know. Sorry. You could have done phone, but I didn't really push that. So does Brittany Merlot have a favorite Christmas movie?
Ooh. It's got to be the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Nice. That's mine and Conrad. We both have that as a favorite too. We played a couple clips. We'll probably play clips later in the show.
The first one? Yeah, that one was really good. That's tough.
Wait, you mean the original Vacation or Christmas Vacation?
Oh, Christmas Vacation. But I said, I'm talking Home Alone, the first one.
Oh, Home Alone, yeah.
Is that classic. Like a Christmas movie? That
counts. Oh, yeah. He's okay. Yeah, it's a classic. When Daniel Stern, when Macaulay Culkin puts the spider on Daniel Stern's chest and he screams, that's one of my all-time favorite laughs in movies. It's like, yeah, we watch that, It's a Wonderful Life, and Christmas Vacation. Those are like our go-tos. So, but I'm going to put you down for Christmas Vacation. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
What do you watch in general? What are you watching? Because this show, I try to have like an information exchange here, and we discuss what we're watching, and we like when people share with us so we can pass along information about great shows because there's so much out there to watch.
Oh man, I am the worst at this. I usually turn on stand-up comedy, right?
Oh,
that's
no
my
kidding.
Go-to.
Okay.
You know, if I get a quick minute, get some laughs in if I can.
Nice.
It's always about smiling.
But who's your favorite comedian?
Ooh. Oh, is it Izalia Schesslinger? Am I saying that right?
Sure.
Izalia? I don't know. She's great, though. Dave Chappelle, I just saw him in Milwaukee in October.
Nice. Yeah, was How fantastic. Was that show?
They take your phones and they put them in a case and then you lock them.
They do?
They do. So that was the first thing you have to go through is breaking up with your phone for a few hours.
So you can't record and then share?
No, of course not. It was probably a Netflix special. Who knows?
Yeah. Or they're worried he's going to say jokes. Yeah. Or they're worried he's going to say something like Dave, right. like Chappelle does, ultra controversial or something, you know, and they don't want it to get out. That's probably pretty smart, actually.
And he did.
Yeah. That's cool. So you're not into like crime shows. You only watch weather movies like Tornado Alley, Singing in the Rain, or.
I mean, science geeky ones like Interstellar kind of vibe.
That's on
Titanic,
my list. I still
haven't seen Titanic. Right? If an iceberg can do something.
That's kind of under the category of weather, right?
It is.
That's awesome. Basically. All right. And last question, Brittany, because I know you got to get to bed. You're up like way past your bedtime tonight. Do you re-gift?
I have. Yeah.
You have. Do you remember what you passed along?
Nope.
No. You can say it because they're probably watching the Packer game if you want to. You're not going to get in trouble. Did you ever open something and go, I know this is a re-gift?
It's like when you get those Bath and Body Works things or like those prepackaged.
Oh, yeah, right. They just pass it along. I do.
Yeah.
I'm a big Bath and Body Works guy. I like to moisturize because I freckle, you know, so.
You have to in Wisconsin.
I know.
It's too dry.
Well, I hope you get a 4-foot snowstorm in your future, but I hope I'm out of state when it happens. That way we can both be happy. So.
If I give you 50s all winter, can I have 2-foot snowstorm?
Yes, you can.
All right.
I'm going to hold
you to
that, though.
You can make deals with the meteorologist.
Yeah. I hope you come back again. This was fun. It was great to talk to you again, and good luck with the new position. That's really cool.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on.
You're welcome. See you later, Brittany. Thank you.
Bye.
Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Chief Meteorologist. She is the chief meteorologist. She gets to boss all around. She gets to boss around all the other meteorologists. She says, we are expecting a pretty mild winter because of El Nino. Do you like how I worked a few things in there, Conrad? Like some movie stuff and then back to weather and then, you know, she didn't even realize she was working. That's what I bring to the table. That's what I bring to the table. Okay, so, hey, share with us. Do you approve of regifting? Have you regifted? 920-264-0606. We want to know, and if you got a really bad gift, tell us that too. Regifting is kind of like just one of the things I read about an article about regifting was that you should escalate the gift. Like if you get something and you're going to pass it along, really do a great wrapping job on it, really make it look nice. And to me, that kind of sounds like turd polishing because you're giving it away, you know. You don't want it. So spend a little bit more money on wrapping paper. Pass it along. That's what I say. I know I've gotten stuff. I know I've been regifted. I know I've regifted. But I always try to give somebody something nice. Like I wouldn't just pass along a piece of junk. You know, I at least not if I like the person. If it was Conrad or Brittany, I'd go the extra mile. But in just a minute, Jim Healy, he's the program director for Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival. And this guy, I've gotten to know him over the years. He watches probably on average, I would say 800 movies a year. That's like more than two a day. So he is all things movies. And I think he watches TV. We'll ask Jim about that too. But the Golden Globe nomination list came out today. And Wisconsin is well represented. Tony Shalhoub, I believe, was nominated. I could be wrong on that, actually. I was just reading about Monk the movie, so... But Willem Dafoe, Mark Ruffalo, Rachel Brosnahan from The Marvelous Miss Maisel, all of them nominated and their shows. And we're going to talk about all this with Jim Healy. I'm a fan of all three of those people, like immensely. Love Mark Ruffalo. So we'll talk about all of that with Jim coming up. You're welcome to weigh in on the text line or call. It's 920-264-0606. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A lower court allowed a Texas woman to undergo an emergency abortion, but the Texas Supreme Court has blocked the decision. CBS's Janet Shanley and also reports.
The Center for Reproductive Rights has issued a statement indicating Kate Cox has been forced to leave Texas to get health care outside of the state. And sources say she will be getting an abortion. The 31-year-old is more than 20 weeks pregnant with a fetus diagnosed with a likely fatal genetic abnormality.
The U.S. Supreme Court agrees to soon review a petition by special counsel Jack Smith regarding a federal election criminal case against former President Trump and whether he can claim immunity. A seven-story building partially collapses in the Bronx, New York Fire Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh says. Crews are tunneling into a pile of rubble. And
we have our drone up, surveying the area, seeing if we can find additional information about potential patients and areas of potential instability. We have our canine unit here helping us search for potential victims.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Senate's top Republican says he's standing by the state elections commissioner who acted as a false elector after the 2020 presidential election. Bob Spindell and nine other false electors settled a civil lawsuit last week saying they acted to overturn the results of that election. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said Monday that he will not remove Spindell from the elections commission despite calls from Democrats for his removal. A new poll suggests more people in Wisconsin are buying guns for self-protection. The Journal Sentinel and Marquette University polled 354 Wisconsin gun owners recently. It's the most extensive survey of Wisconsin's gun owners' opinions so far. Roughly half of Wisconsin's homes have guns in them. The survey finds 3-8% of Wisconsin gun owners say they've pulled a trigger in self-defense. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 25 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 32 tomorrow. Mainly cloudy tomorrow night, 20.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live from the City Deck Studios at WGBW here in beautiful Green Bay. And those of you who are with me here during a Packer game, locally anyway, and throughout the state, I appreciate that. I did get a text. I thought this was interesting. Someone texted in. First time texter too. Dueling Packers. Packers on mute. Long Civic fan learning your show. So I think that means learning about the show or loving the show or something. Thank you for listening, though. Thank you for listening, first time texter. And then we have regifting. This is from Conrad's mom. I love when Conrad's mom chimes in. Regifting is great for white elephant gifting events. That makes good sense to me because you don't know what you got. You don't know what you're getting. It's great. And then here's another one. It's okay to regift if it's not in the same group of people. Well, that's just good common sense regifting right there. You know, then there's not that awkwardness when you give mom the same gift she gave you last year, the candles or the picture frame. Anyway, we have bigger things to get to right now, but you can chime in if you regift or if you have been regifted, if it offends you, we want to know how you feel. It's 920-264-0606. Let us know what you think about regifting, folks. That's the question tonight on Nightlight. Joining me now, all the way from beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, is a man I've gotten to know over the last few years. I've interviewed him on television a few times. He is the director, the programming director of Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival. Please welcome Jim Healy. Jim, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Pete? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great, man. It's great to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah? I appreciate you, Jim, pulling yourself away from whatever movie you were watching, I'm sure, to be on the show with me. That really means a lot to me. So thank you for that.
I wrapped up about 8:15.
Okay.
Perfect timing. And was able to get started, so I didn't have to even pause the movie. Credits were rolling, and
much appreciate.
Sure.
Yeah. So do you have to do that, like in your house? Do people leave you alone because you see so many movies and you have to for your job? You know, I think on Facebook a couple years ago or a year ago, you said you watched like 785 movies or something that year. That's more than two a day. Do you get interrupted a lot? Do you have to pause, or do you watch them all in one sitting?
I try and work it out so that I can watch something without interruption. But you know, sometimes you can't help it, and
sure.
You know, or you're falling asleep at the end of the night. You just gotta hit the pillow and put it on pause and go back to it for the next day. But you know, sometimes my whole family joins me. Sometimes just my wife joins me. Sometimes just my kid joins me. You know, there are a lot of times, yeah, where I have to go and sequester myself and get through a stack of screeners, as they say. Although everything's online now, and
yeah.
You know, we're looking at things for the film festival, streaming. You know, it used to be you'd get DVDs in the mail. Before that, I remember getting VHS cassettes to look at, things to consider.
Yeah, when my Writers Guild dues were current, I loved getting the DVDs, and it was like all I would do.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The whole season, it was phenomenal. Do you... like watching so many films, Jim, do you ever, I can't leave a movie, but when I'm in the theater, I don't think I've ever walked out on a movie, even if it was horrible. Cause it's like, I want to stay and see the carnage. Do you turn movies off, or do you say, no, I'm going to muscle through this? What do you do?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of films I don't make it through, especially sometimes when you're dealing with like distributors or international things or sales agents for a film festival. So that's like some office in Europe somewhere, and they're sending you 20 movies that, you know, some of which haven't been in any festivals yet. And, you know, you want to just do due diligence, and, you know, I guess really due diligence is watching them all the way through. But then you watch 15, 20 minutes of something, and it's either really irritating you or it's going nowhere. And you just want to, you know, you know nobody else is showing this movie, so you just kind of follow that cue and you move on to the next thing. And then, you know, and sometimes even when I go to film festivals, like Toronto Film Festival is really great for number of things being screened, and you can be in their festival industry center where they've got, you know, 12 screens going at once just for people in the industry. And it's very common to see, you know, people walk out, and sometimes they're walking out not because the movie's bad, but because, you know, they're distributors looking to pick up a certain kind of film, or a festival looking for something, and it's just not going to work for them, and they're just sampling it while they have an hour to kill before that thing they really want to see is starting. So you see that a lot, which can be distracting and irritating, but I'm certainly been guilty of, you know, bailing on something after a half hour because something starting 45 minutes, you know, or, you know, starting right away is, you know, got better potential.
Yeah, life is too short sometimes anyway. You don't want to, if you know you're not going to use it. Do you believe that you've reached a point in your life where people pay you to watch movies?
Oh my God, it's the greatest.
How did you end up there? Like, how did you make that transition? Were you in filmmaking before, or how did you get to where you are?
Wasn't in filmmaking, but I you know, always tried to see as many free movies as possible. I think Jonathan Demme said that once when, you know, the director of Silence of the Lambs, when he was in college, I think he got invited to write a review for a movie for the school newspaper that he was a journalist for. And he went and did it and loved the movie and got good feedback and ended up getting invited to review a bunch more movies. And he said, that was basically it. Once you start seeing free movies, you can't ever go back. You know, for me, it was living in Chicago and finding ways to, you know, when I wasn't working in film, finding ways to, you know, get to the free screenings of movies, because the studios were always doing those, right, to get word of mouth out. So they, you know, they paper these houses and get 300 people to show up, and if you planned it right and had enough free time in the evenings, you could see almost everything if you knew who to talk to and who had the passes. So I started doing that, and then I started writing articles for some local journals, some like industrial publications that wrote about filmmaking in Chicago, and then some other things where I got to interview filmmakers, and I really enjoyed that. And I had a kind of a portfolio built up of articles, and I sent them into the Chicago International Film Festival in 1996 when they were looking for a bunch of new staff. And I got hired at first to help write the program notes for the catalog that year. You know, I found out later that that's usually something that falls to the programming team, but the festival was in Chicago that year was in a bit of a disarray. So I was, and another guy got together, and we edited the you know, the festival catalog and the schedule that talks about all the movies. So I got to watch movies in advance of the festival and write them up. Sometimes we didn't have access to the movie, so I had to write them up based on what the press kit said. And I found out after I'd see the movie that I was completely wrong in describing. I think I described Sling Blade as like a scary thriller, you know,
a whimsical comedy.
We couldn't get to see it. But that year at the festival, after I did the writing, they hired me to be a hospitality coordinator, and they let me introduce films and do Q&As with filmmakers. Nice. And so like I did the screening of Sling Blade with Billy Bob Thornton and Dwight Yoakam. And so I was kind of hooked in that. And then I became a programmer for the festival the next year, doing short films and documentaries. And then I got put part of the feature film team. That was in the late 90s. And and so I've basically been in the festival and Cinematheque programming game since then.
That's so cool. I'm talking with Jim Healy. He's the programming director for Cinematheque in Madison and the Wisconsin Film Festival. And he watches a lot of movies. You mentioned Jonathan Demme, Silence of the Lambs director. I've had this debate with my friends over the years. The movie Manhunter, the Michael Mann film, and Silence of the Lambs. Brian Cox is Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs, and Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
There's a few of us that swear Brian Cox is a more creepy, chilling Hannibal Lecter than Anthony Hopkins. I mean, have you seen, would you weigh in on this? Do you have an opinion on it? Because they're both great actors, and one of them is a smaller role. He doesn't have as much to do on camera, but I think Brian Cox is creepier.
You could definitely make that case because he's so much more banal, right?
Like, yeah.
He doesn't do any, he doesn't have the, you know, the rolling of his eyes and the flitting of his tongue that Anthony Hopkins does. You know, he doesn't have as much screen time, but they set the character up, right? We know who he is. We know he's a serial killer. I don't know that in Manhunter we get all the cannibalism details and everything, but we know here's a guy, he's locked up in a super tight security, right? And William Peterson has to go through all these things to get in to see him, and he's the one who's he wounded him in the past too, right?
Correct.
Peterson, so,
and he's there to so pick his brain. Yeah,
right. He's his adversary, and he's been speaking to this new serial killer, and then when you meet him, he's just, you know, he looks like a middle-aged guy like Brian Cox,
right?
You know, in the mid '80s, and that is just terrifying because the killer could be, you know, anybody on the street, and not the guy who's lit and wearing the mask and tied up on the gurney with the straitjacket, you know.
I think that's what it was. It was like Anthony Hopkins was so over the top with the, like you said, the tongue flickering and the, I'm just like, okay, I get it. You're scary. Whereas Brian Cox, from an acting standpoint, did it with his eyes and downplaying it, you know? And again, he didn't have as much to do or as much screen time. A lot of things were implied, but anyway, just, I love that. And that will lead me to my next question. Like, we're debating that, who was better? Award season. You don't like awards, right, Jim, in films. Tell us why.
You know, I wanted to give it some more thought today than I was able to, but I kind of came down to, you know, all right, well, let's first just say the thing that most people say about it, which is absolutely true, which is we're a competition between works of art.
Yeah.
I mean, right there, you know, something that is going to be subjective to anybody who's watching it, you know, it could be someone's entertainment, could be somebody else's torture,
right?
What is beautiful is all based on what your own personal experience as a human being is, and what you've experienced with other art, and what you've experienced with life, and so just the idea of it is kind of sickening. But you know, the problem is that movies are very much the ultimate meeting of business and art, right?
Yeah.
So it is a business, and so it has to be, you know, monetized in as many ways as possible. So they figured out a way to get you to think about art, you know, the movies as an art form, or at least get the Academy voters to think about them. And I suppose anybody who pays attention to what's going on in the awards season thinks about it too. And then use that as this kind of imprimatur of quality. So, you know, people hear about the Oscar nominations, that means it must be worth seeing. But, you know, it's all about how much money the studios are paying to,
right,
you know, have these campaigns. And it's also about, you know, how much they're willing to spread dirt about the other movies, and, you know, it's create controversies. And so that's gotten even more creepy the last few years. You know, it's like, you know, as soon as a movie comes out and is lauded on the festival circuit or at early screenings, you start seeing the social media posts and the articles,
right,
about, you know, how it's, oh, it doesn't represent this group of people well, and these people are upset.
Hey,
about
Jim,
it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you stick around for, like, let us do 60 seconds of business so we can continue this?
Yeah, I'll
awesome.
Pick right up where I started.
I know you will. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds, and any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Broadcasting live from WGBW in Green Bay at City Deck. Great to talk movies with Jim Healy. He's here. He is the program director for the Wisconsin Film Festival and Cinematheque in Madison at UW-Madison. We were talking about award shows, and Jim, I kind of agree with you. It's not the 40-yard dash. There's not a winner, a clear-cut winner,
right,
when it comes to art. However, I do think the more I thought about it today after we swapped emails, it is good for business. It gets people talking. It gets people going to the theaters. I see why they do it, but I do agree with you. It is hard to, and sometimes you just go, are you kidding me? Like, you can't believe how, I think a lot of the people are sheep that either vote or once they talk about stuff, they think they should like something. I don't know. It's a tough thing to debate.
Yeah. And it is a tough thing to debate. And even
though,
you know, I suppose, and it's good. I stopped watching the Oscars, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago or something. I used to watch them every year. It just made me uneasy, I think, just, you know, the nervousness to talk about, you know, cringe TV, you know. It's just there's just always something that somebody does or during the actual award show.
Talk to Chris Rock about that.
Oh my God. The ultimate, right?
Yeah.
I think what it comes down to is lended itself to this language that is ultimately meaningless in talking about movies. So like when I was at a screening this year, I remember overhearing somebody who turned out to be one of these Oscar prognosticators for one of the big trade papers in Hollywood. And, you know, somebody was asking about a movie they saw at the festival, and the talk was all about, well, he gives a very Oscar-worthy performance. Well, you know, what does that even mean? You know,
right.
It's like, oh yes, you must see it because it's going to get Oscar nominations. And it's like, well, that's just, you know, isn't that the ultimate in the emperor's new clothes?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and that leads me to, it is the Golden Globe nominees came out today, and I was looking at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Chris Foran put something out, and I didn't catch this when I just saw the release of the what they had announced, but three Wisconsinites, Willem Dafoe, Mark Ruffalo, and Rachel Brosnahan, are all nominated. And could you comment on those three individually? Would you have a favorite Mark Ruffalo movie? I think he is like a really, not even underrated, obviously, because he's nominated, but just a phenomenal actor, as are Willem Dafoe and Rachel Brosnahan, too, though.
Great actor. Well, first I'll say that Willem Dafoe rode in the back seat of my Ford Escort. My wife and I drove him around Rochester, New York in the middle of winter. And when he got in the car, he did that thing where he touched his boot up against the side of the running board before getting in the car, and knocked the snow off his boots before getting in. And we kind of looked at him, and he went, "Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin.
So check, please." That's great. Yeah, he's from Appleton, and there's great stories about him from Appleton High School. My favorite Willem Dafoe role is not Chance, To Live and Die in L.A. Masters, yeah, Rick
isn't that
Masters.
The name of his character? Rick Masters.
Yeah, oh, okay. He was a counterfeiter.
What movie does he play Chance in? Is that Streets of Fire?
No, William Peterson is Agent Chance in Live and Die in L.A.
Right.
But that was the first time I ever saw Willem Dafoe, and I'm like, oh, this guy's great, you know.
Yeah, I loved him in that. I think that was the first time I really thought he was something special, but I had seen Streets of Fire the year before. He's like the main villain. That was a big flopperoo. Not too many people went to see that one, but right. I think I went opening weekend. But yeah, he's great. I mean, and now, so I guess he and Ruffalo are in this movie together, Poor Things, which I haven't seen yet. It hasn't
Me
come
either.
To Madison yet. I haven't had a chance. I'm looking forward to it. I've got mixed feelings about this director's other movies, but this one sounds really intriguing. But I love them both. I'm trying to think of my favorite Dafoe performance. I love what Wes Anderson's done with him, just in the small roles he's done for him in his last couple movies.
He's one of those guys to me, Jim, who can, he's sort of bad movie proof. Like, he can go out and make movies and you go, God, is this guy career done or what? And then he shows up in this film and you're like, oh my God, he's still there's not a lot of actors like that. You know,
no, consummate actor.
Yeah.
And he was in a movie this year that I really enjoyed called Inside. Did you see that?
I did not. No,
I think it's streaming on Amazon Prime right now. But he plays an art thief who gets locked into this Manhattan high-rise apartment that he's robbing and ends up getting stuck there for a number of months. and has to survive and deal with the HVAC system that's on the fritz. It's too cold and then too hot. It's boiling him alive. And he's terrific. And it's just him on screen, except for some video surveillance footage. It's him on screen for the whole movie, you know, carrying the entire movie for, you know, 90, 100 minutes, whatever it is. And he's just great. Just a real physical presence, you know?
Yeah. All right. So, Jim, we got about a minute left in this. Kind of sucks because I had so much to ask you. I got caught up in Manhunter.
Well, we'll talk more next time.
Yeah, for sure. But I want to ask you, favorite all-time Christmas movie?
Oh, well, there's so many. There are a lot of good ones. I'm going to go out on a limb and say my favorite movie of all time, which takes place at Christmas in the last 10 minutes, but ends on Christmas Day, and that is The Night of the Hunter, directed by Charles Laughton, starring Robert Mitchum, 1955.
Oh, wow.
It's actually a great movie about children and the scary adult world and about what it means to be a true Christian.
Wow. Great pull.
It's a hugely powerful film.
You're the first person that's mentioned that film, which I have not seen. So I'm going to run home tonight and watch that. Thank you for that that tip. I hope we've given some other people ideas on what to watch as well. But you got to come back.
Yeah, it's only 90 minutes, so you can get through it pretty fast.
Oh, very nice. And when you come back, we got to talk Silent Night. I didn't get to a lot of stuff, but I got to go. But it was great having you, Jim. We'll do this again soon. Jim Healy, the program director of the Wisconsin Film Festival, which you should definitely go to, and UW Cinematheque. Thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks, Pete. Anytime.
All right. So, yeah, I kind of felt the way Jim did about award show, but we'll get into that more. I got a lot more show coming up, folks. We got a lot of civic media guests coming up in the next hour. Thanks for hanging with me. It's Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming around, I go to put my arm around you, and you give me a look like I'm way out of bounds. Well, you let one on your board size, but lately,
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.